vegetable seed business, and I've had people as far north as Ontario tell me they got to plant corn last week, so they're going to, good thing for me, I'm in the vegetable seed business, so I have to replant, so that'd be good. So I want to welcome everyone this morning. Before I get started, Andrea wants to come up and do an announcement about Vacation Bible School, and then I've got a few things here I just need to review with everyone. Andrea, if you'd like to come.
Good morning. We decided last week after our meeting that Bible school will be June 24th through 27th. We're going to do 4 days. And it will be from 6 to 8:30. In the past, we have fed workers from 5 to 6, and we decided this year we are not going to do the that time. Very hard to prepare food for workers and then also the snacks and stuff for the kids. So we are not going to have that time beforehand to feed the workers. So everyone, you know, feed yourselves. But we will, of course, have snacks and stuff for the kids. And we need, at this time, the help that I need is some food workers. Of course, we'll need regular security team, just a little bit of that. We'll need some people to sign up to drive the van to both before Awana and to drop kids off. And, of course, that would need to be two people at each time. I have workers for... let's see, most classes, I would appreciate you all praying about possibly teaching 5th and 6th grade or the youth, and we need some help in some other rooms like kindergarten, so I would really appreciate if you all would pray about that, if that's something that you might be interested in helping with, and praying for Bible school, that we can get a lot of kids in our community to come, and because this... this Bible school is called the Seven Seas of History, and I didn't bring my book up here, but it talks about creation, catastrophe, creation, corruption, catastrophe, and there's Christ, and I can't remember all seven, but the lessons are so good. And what? Consummation, and then there was crucifixion, but it goes through all, you know, the seven seas of history, and all the lessons I have read through some, and they look very good, and some lessons that, you know, we don't typically have, just like last year, some lessons we don't typically have when we're teaching children. I know some of the lessons we've had in Awana, but not necessarily Sunday school, so I'm very excited about getting the kids in the community to hear some of these things that we get to teach our home kids in Awana that they don't necessarily get. So if you would like to help in any way, just let me know. Thank you.
All right, and just a few other announcements. And then also, too, I was given this morning. These are just some prayer requests from the Hope Center, and we're going to pray over them this morning as well as we open up service. Just a couple of other announcements this morning. We will be having Versathon this evening in Awana as well. And they're going to do it a little bit different this year. Last year we had people sign up to sponsor children, and we were having a little trouble covering everyone. So this year, come next Sunday, you'll have an opportunity to give as sponsorship or give a donation to help sponsor kids, and they'll divide that up amongst the children that are competing in Versathon this evening. So be in prayer for that. You'll be able to given that opportunity next Sunday. And then also, too, the church has got an opportunity. There's going to be a simulcast from a church in Kingsport, and it's going to be on March the 29th. And it's going to be between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. here at the church, and they're going to be talking about the Passover Seder meal, and it's going to be taught by Pastor Tony Crisp. And so we'll be connecting with them. So if you would like to plan to be here on that Friday, We're going to do that. There'll be some more additional information come out here over the next week, but we are going to plan to do that simulcast. So if you've never observed a Seder meal or been involved with it, it's very interesting. Gives you a lot of information that we understand where our traditions and history come. So just be in prayer for that. But again, that will be on Friday, March the 29th, from 6 to 9 here at the church. If you're Deacon of the Week, what happens is about 15 till the top of the hour, everybody gives you these little pieces of paper, so I apologize. So also, too, these two books are out in the foyer, and we're trying to, as a church, you're free to take one, read it, bring it back, put it back out on the table, out the infamous table here in the foyer, and let someone else read it. But preparing for our pastor, our new pastor, to get here when they arrive, these two books help focus our hearts and our minds on what we should be doing to prepare for the new pastor, because we're going to put a lot of hope into this new pastor, which is what we want to do. But we also have to remember our part and not forget that we should be praying for that person daily, praying for the church daily, and then it allows you to align yourself into exactly what you should be doing and where our hearts should be as we prepare for the new pastor, because not only are we going to expect a lot from him, but he's going to expect a lot from us as a church to be ready to go out and tell the community about Jesus Christ. So just be in prayer for that. You're free to take a book. It's a couple-day read, even for a slow reader like me. And you can bring it back Wednesday, and we'll just continue to circulate these books. So if you would, just feel free. They're out on the table there as you leave this afternoon. And with that, we're just thankful to have Brother Matthew Clark with us this morning to bring the message. Thank you, Brother Matthew, for being here. And with that, I'm going to ask if everybody would just stand, and we're going to go to prayer over to ask the Lord to bless our service, but also to specifically pray over these needs. And I'm not going to read them individually because God already knows what's on here, right? But he tells us to be specific in our prayer. So if we would, let's all bow our heads, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be in your house this morning, Lord, and we're thankful, Lord, that we can come here and worship freely. We thank you for Brother Matthew being here this morning as you prepare his heart to bring you the message you've given him, Lord, that we would just receive that word, that we would keep up with what he brings, Lord, to us this morning, that we would add it to our hearts, Lord, and that we would use it in this week to come. And, Lord, we are thankful to be in this country, and we're thankful, Lord, as we prepare our hearts for celebration of Easter Sunday, Lord, that we would just take time to be grateful and to be humble before you and just grateful. And thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus, Lord, who came and gave his life upon Calvary, Lord, that we might be able to have salvation and a relationship with you. And, Lord, as I hold these prayer requests from Hope House in my hand, Lord, you know each one of them. You know each situation, Lord. You know each need. Whether it be hunger, Lord, whether it be a relationship with you or a need for something, Lord, you know every one of them. And I pray, Lord, that you answer each of these requests according to your will. And if there's opportunity as a brother and sister in Christ, Lord, or a servant to you, that we have an opportunity to help in any of these situations, Lord, that you would give us that opportunity. And we would just give you the praise and the honor and the glory that you deserve, Lord, for each opportunity you present us with. So help us to be obedient. Help us to see others with the eyes of Christ, Lord, that we can show people that we love them, we care for them, and that we do have the answer. And help us, Lord, give us a boldness to be able to share Jesus Christ with others. And again, I just ask you to be over these specific requests. And again, we thank you for this service this morning. And most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And in his name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Get it up my back.
Good morning. Beautiful sunny morning, isn't it? If you would like to take a hymnal, go ahead and do so and turn to page 156. And as you stand, we are going to open up with Were You There? balance between sometimes us learn it one way and some way different, but it's okay. Let's turn to page 426 and let's sing Victory in Jesus.
I heard a loud voice.
And we thank Ernestine for filling in for us when Miss Nancy's not here. And as she comes to the choir loft up here, what we're fixing to sing, it's a favorite of Thomas Village. We've been singing it, goodness, ever since I've been in the choir back in the old original building. So, you know, if you know this, please join in and sing along with us. This isn't us sitting back and performing. We have a performance of one that we're singing to, and that is our Heavenly Father. But we want you all to join in and participate as we praise Jesus for what he has done for us.
Thank you. I'm not substituting for Brother Matt, so don't get excited. I forgot to tell Brother Frank something to announce, and my fault. Wednesday night, I'll be teaching on fasting. We love to hear about feasting, but we don't want to hear much about fasting. You may fast and you may not, but if you want to learn something about fasting, be here Wednesday night, and I'll try to teach something about fasting. Thank you. Come on, Brother Matt.
Amen. Good to be with you all this morning. Thank you for that wonderful singing. Thank you for being in God's house, especially if you knew I was going to be here and you came anyway. That blesses me. Be turning in your Bibles, if you will, to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah. I don't know if you want to begin with chapter 9 or chapter 55. We'll try to cover everything in between today real quick, but I'll be bouncing back and forth between those two chapters a little bit. And, man, Otis, you couldn't have done me any more favors other than just went ahead and took up another offering or something, you know? Or tell people we're not dismissed until 3 o'clock. There's some things people don't need to know ahead of time. And I know one thing that could make it worse. God could have gave me a message against gluttony. Are y'all awake? Okay, all right. Y'all got lunch plans, don't you? I do too. It's my daughter's birthday. I'm hoping to take her out for Mexican so I can eat it. Happy birthday. I hope she's not watching this right now. But it is good to be back with you this morning. Praise the Lord. A lot has happened since I seen you last. I think I haven't been here since February. But God has been busy showing up, showing out, and showing off, because that's what He does. Did you know that? If you don't believe that about God, you need to come serve mine a while. My God is the greatest that there ever will be, because He's the capital G. All other gods are these little bitty gods. They're not even a god. If you worship Buddha, if you worship Muhammad, or anything else, you're in the wrong place this morning. Amen. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a King this morning. I know so, not just because my Bible tells me so, but somebody put it on the wall. Praise God. I don't know why we need that reminder just at Easter, but He lives. How do you know? He lives within me. Does He live within you? Hey, get excited about it. I'll tell you the worst thing that ever happened to me when I went to Uganda, Africa for a missionary trip. And I was excited to be there, but I was scared to death. And man, I'll tell you how scared I must have been. I got off the bus, and the missionary who greeted us, he said, "Brother, are you still in love with Jesus?" And I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Tell your face." He told me that. Didn't care if he hurt my feelings. He wanted me to know that it was written on my face that I was scared. Oh. But you know what? When we follow the Spirit and not the flesh, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to have fear, because He that goes before us is greater than anybody else. The Bible says in the book of John, greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. Isn't that the one we fear, the one that's in the world, the one that's out there controlling it? He's called the prince of the power of the air, but He is defeated. Man, that'd make a Baptist church shout. I don't know what we're in here this morning, but praise God, He's alive and He's risen. Preacher, we didn't book you for Easter. I'm just prepping you. I'm excited this morning at what God's been doing in my life personally. What about you?
Well, glory to God, He saved me back in the 70s. He's been with me ever since. I remember one time back in the 80s when He blessed me.
Hey, what's God done for you today? Huh? Y'all feel that stuff coming in and out of your lungs? Man, that's good, ain't it? That's nice. There's people that can't do that this morning. Why? COPD, lung cancer, all kinds of problems, all kinds of health. Couldn't get in here without oxygen, but we're able to be in God's house this morning. I promise I'll settle down and get in the Word in just in a minute. Bear with me. It's good to be in God's house with God's people. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. I flip over to the book of Peter, and you know what he tells me, John? Peter says, I want to stir up the remembrance of who Jesus is, what he's done for you. Anybody in here know Jesus died for you? Huh? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. But you have a hope this morning. Do cancer patients have hope? They do, don't they? Why? Because Jesus loves them. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Man, it's good to be with you this morning. We'll try to settle down and get into the message. Whew. You know what? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Oh, somebody did their homework. Praise God. Death, destruction, either one. But you know what? I read in this book right here, in the book of Isaiah, our ways are down here. God's ways are up here. You know what I'm trying to do? Do you know what my personal conviction is in my spiritual walk? I want my ways to come up. Hey, I'm not going to bring His ways down to mine. That's not smart. But let me tell you something. I'm just following the leadership of the Holy Spirit here. That's what the message is about, if you ain't figured that out yet. It's about God and His ways. They're higher than mine. They're higher than yours. Preacher, you don't know my ways. I know they're not as good as God's ways. Hello? Did you know there's two ways to have the tallest building in town? This is a church principle. Listen to me. This is from God. I can't come up with this. There's two ways to have the tallest building in town. You can work hard, you can be disciplined, and you can grow that building, you can stack it, you can work on it, you can do all that you need to do. Get it higher, get it, look at, you can look at everybody, you can see the highest one, you say, I'm going to go better than that. And it takes hard work. And it takes dedication. It takes commitment. You don't just build it up once, you got to maintain it. There's another way. And this is the way that men do it. This is the way that churchgoers do it. This is the way a lot of Christians do it. They look at the tallest man and they tear everybody else down until it's lower than theirs. Huh? Correct me if I'm wrong. That's what I see. That's the two possibilities. One way is too hard. The other way is just sit back, destroy everybody else until they're down on my level. That's not what I want to do. John said, I must decrease and He must increase. I want to lift Him up. And then, praise God, He said, if I lift Him up, He'll draw all men unto Him and He'll make me better. That don't make sense, does it? When He's lifted up, He makes me better. The Bible says, when a man's ways are pleasing unto the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Who do you want to please this morning? You want to please yourself or you want to please God? Hey, if I was going to please myself, if I was going to please the flesh, I'd be laying on the beach somewhere this morning, wouldn't you? I'd be kicked back with my toes in the sand, enjoying the fruits of my labor. But I'm here with you this morning because I love you and because I love God more and I want to serve Him. And He said to go and preach the gospel. I've already heard that three times in the announcements this morning. Did you hear it? This church is trying to get the gospel out there. Whew. Praise God for the kids programs. I don't care what it is. Awana, Bible school, youth camp, Easter egg hunting, whatever you're doing, do it for the Lord. And He will bless it. And those kids will grow up to be leaders that fear God and know His ways. Let's get into the message. Isaiah chapter 9. I want you to see what the Bible says right here. This will seem strange to you, but I promise you God's going to tie it all together. And God's going to help me to do it quickly. I am a horrible, horrible preacher when it comes to short messages. Somebody asked me one time, they said, brother, can you come preach us a short sermon about 15 minutes? I said, there ain't no way. God is too good to try to stuff Him into a little 15-minute capsule. He don't belong there. Because when we watch a ball game, I ain't paying $400 to go watch my Kentucky Wildcats play for 6 minutes. Come on! You're the same way. Who wants to go to a ball game and watch one quarter? Some of you do because you sneak in at halftime when it's free so you can watch the last quarter. I know how you are. I've done that. Hey, listen to me. Let's give God the credit that He's due. He gave you all week long. All you're here to give Him for this morning is a couple hours. This is my opportunity. Where's my Sunday school teachers? Where's my Sunday school teachers? Raise your hand. Get it up there. Be proud of what you're doing. Any more Sunday school teachers? Yeah, I do. Come on, get them up there. I got something for you. I'm going to give it to you. You ready? I'm sorry. I owe you an apology because things at my house and things in my life and my son on crutches got in the way this morning and I did not make it to your Sunday school class, but I should have been there and so should every one of you. Hello? They didn't ask me to say that. They didn't pay me to say that, but Sunday school is where it's at. You'll get more out of 30 minutes of Sunday school than you will in this message. Come on. I give you roses, but I give you my apology. I should have been in your class. Instead, I'm in the parking lot getting a text message. Preacher, are you coming? Huh? Y'all tell that to Jared when you see him. I thought I responded to him. And I'm still sitting out there. And I look down my phone. I didn't hit send. Jared in here exercising his faith. Someone will preach. Otis, you about got your opportunity. All right, let's hurry on. Let's look into here what Isaiah says. Whoever left this water last week, it's mine now. Man, I'm excited. Somewhere in this message, I want to squeeze in my personal testimony of what God's been doing on missionary work in the land of Kentucky. Anybody here from Kentucky? Gosh, I love the Kentuckians. We're working with them over there, helping them. Did you know they had a flood? When? In July of 2022. Thank you, brother. Did you know we're still helping them? Because just now, after 18 months of molded, rotted, wooded, wet wood under the... It's collapsing. Now it's collapsing. They don't have water in their house today, some of them, praise God. But now the materials are collapsing. And we're still helping them. You know why? Anybody got the answer? Do you know why we're doing that? To show them the love of Jesus Christ and to give them the gospel. Do you know it's a lot easier to receive the gospel when somebody's helping you? Huh? Hey, I like to give people a ride when they run out of gas. I like to change a flat tire. I like to get a hold of people when they need it the most. You know why? I got a captive audience. They can't get out of my truck then, and I give them Jesus. And they say, what can I pay you, brother? I say, be in God's house on Sunday morning. That's all you got to do. Let's hurry on. I got to get into this thing. We're never going to get it done. This is a three-day sermon right here. I want you to see the prophetic way of Isaiah. He knew the Messiah was coming. How did he know that? God showed him. Look here, in Isaiah chapter 9, I want to read verse 6. And I want to remind you what we just saw, the season we just came out of, Luke chapter 2. Look what the Bible says. For unto us a child is born. That's no big deal, right? Got a little baby on its way in attendance here this morning, youngest member here. Laura's with us this morning. She's attending. Thank you, Laura. Appreciate you being here. She can hear the sound of my voice. She's on her way. A child is born almost every day now. Did you know that? The birth of a child is not the significance here. It's the birth of the child. What kind of child? Let's see. For unto us a son is given. Okay. Now we know the gender. That's a gender reveal right there, in case you don't know. John, Lexi, y'all doing a gender reveal? To the world? I know we all know. They're panicking. Y'all all know, huh? I done gave that away. Oops. Here's the first gender reveal. It was actually a prediction. Thank you, Lord. Man, I want you to see how powerful God is. Look what He says. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. don't know about you, but I don't want to proclaim that over my youngins, do you? I got three, and I don't want to say, hey, it's your job to fix our mess. I want you to take the government upon your shoulders. But Mary pondered all those things in her heart when it happened to her, didn't she? How about it, mothers? I don't know how you think. I don't know how you feel. You spent the most time with the baby. The government will be upon his shoulders. My goodness. But look at this. His name. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. If you don't know him this morning, you're missing out on some good news. That's my best friend. That's my Savior. That's my protector. That's my provider. That's the one that goes with me all the way, even unto the very end. That's Jesus, Emmanuel. He's the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. He's the Son of the Living God. Who is he to you? He's my Savior. He redeemed me on an old-fashioned altar on February the 12th on a Wednesday night in 1981. He changed me. He set my feet upon the solid rock. He gave me heaven as my eternal home. That's my Jesus. But just another baby was born. No, he is risen. He is alive. Whew, thank you, Lord. Now look what he says. Verse 7, of the increase of his government. Whoa, wait a minute. Did you see the transition? It said the government would be upon his shoulders. Here's how God works. I'm just going to speak for me. But when God saved my soul, the Bible says he redeemed me. He purchased me with a blood price and I became his. The Bible says in the New Testament, know ye not that you're not your own, but you belong to him. He takes possession of us, doesn't he? Hey, I belong to him. I'm not my own anymore, John. My ways are not good. My ways are not righteous. But I seek his way. The Bible says the steps of a good man. That psalmist, he said the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Amen. Do you delight in yours? Whew. Y'all's heat pump is working. Whew. You can turn it off now. Praise God. Does it work off of Siri or Alexa? Because I'll control it. I want it to be my heat pump. Do you see what I did there? The transition is, when I got here, it was your heat pump. Now that I need some air, it's mine. That's what God did for me. When I was born into this world, I was born of Jack and Joyce, and I was their child. But when I got born again, I became God's child, and he's molding me. He's shaping me. He's making me what I ought to be. Is he working on you? If he's not, it's your fault because he wants to. He's willing. He's got the hammer and chisel ready. And you're saying, not me, Lord. Please just leave me alone. But Isaiah said, let's turn over there, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 55. While you're turning to Isaiah 55, let me tell you some stuff. Got any licensed drivers in here? Great, three of you. How'd the rest of you get here? Did you know... my son's turning 16 in a few months. Y'all pray for me. Pray for me. He's driving. Y'all have met him. Cade, adopted from Uganda. They do not have the same laws there. Took him down to the DMV. Don't tell him I said this. Got caught up on those signs. He got 9 signs right. Y'all know what that means, don't you? Lexi's a teacher. Yep, he failed. Yep, he's going back. You have to get 10 signs. Brother, how old are you? You know then, don't you? Pastor, the first time, didn't you? Praise God for honesty. Man, he could have lied right in church. Yeah, I did. I'm smart. It's my woman. Hey, listen to me. Those signs are difficult. But you know what those signs are, don't you? Anybody? And? It's telling us the way. Now, I'm old now. I turned 50 this year. Don't you mock me. I can't remember like I used to. So I made me a list on the way here this morning. That's why I was almost late. Don't laugh. You do stuff while you're driving too. Siri took care of it for me. But no, not right now, Siri. She got involved. Stop that. But let me tell you what. This is just on the way here. I live over in Dryden. You know what I saw? And this one was from God. Speed limit. Huh? There's nothing more embarrassing than a preacher getting a ticket on the way to church. That will not happen again. Pray for me. Stop judging me. Speed limit, what's that telling us? It's not just the limit or the, for some of you ladies, I know that's, you feel like that's a suggestion. It's not just a suggestion. The Virginia Department of Transportation, where I used to work, they have a design department and they measure the road and they check its altitude, its slope, its line, and they check it all. And they said, this should be the speed limit because it's safe for everyone to drive on. They have not met my son. But there is a way that seemeth right. And that speed limit is there for a reason. And that's what I have to tell him. He has a heavy foot, but he's going to learn. If he don't listen to Dad, he'll listen to the state trooper. And I'll say, I warned you. I told you. But here's the problem with him. He's just like you and I. I'm glad he went with his mama to church this morning to hear my daddy preach. That way I can talk about him. When I get on to him for going 5 miles, he's 15 and he's creeping up to 5 miles over. Well, you do it, Dad. No, I do 6. But I said, you're not allowed to because one, it ain't your truck. You don't have a job and you ain't, who's going to pay the ticket? Huh? But the speed limit's there for everyone, not just you, but it's a safety thing, right? Y'all ever driven 70? Where's that at? Jonesville? No. Now, you've done it, but that ain't the limit. The speed limit is there for a reason. It's to guide us, thank you, Lord, and show us the way. And there's also a minimum. When I jump onto my son, hits his brakes hard, and we're down to 45. No, son, you can't do that either. Well, you said, and I'm like, you just going to pull over, and we're going to have to talk about it. You can't do 45 and on a 60-mile-per-hour four-lane, you're going to get us hit. Right? These signs on the highway are there to show us the way. You listen close. You're driving in just a few years. Jared told me to say that. I'm trying to tell you what the Bible says. Isaiah knows a thing or two about the Lord. Could you imagine a road with no signs? You know why you got to pass those signs test? Because apparently 20 questions later, boom, you're a licensed professional driver on somebody's insurance. Thank God it's not mine. But those signs are so significant. How do you know, brother? I'm going to tell you some signs, and you're going to be like, oh yeah, I forgot about that one. Because I could not believe how many there were. Let's hurry through them. Here's a good one. Stop. Wouldn't you like for people to obey that one every single time? That's also not a suggestion. It's also not slow until you feel like it. It's stop. Why? Somebody else is coming and they don't have to. Let's hurry on. What's another one? Curvy road ahead. Nobody looks at that one. You see it. Does this number? Oh, it's for somebody else. I've got a Camaro. I can make it around them curves. God is trying to tell us there's some curvy roads ahead. There's going to be some bumps and bruises, but He's going to go with us. Next one, you know what I saw? This one got me. This is watch for falling rocks. Y'all ever see that sign? I guarantee you some of you see the rocks on the road and go, well, they should have put up a sign for this. And it's already there. But how many of us adhere to it? Be honest. Do you actually start watching for rocks? I don't. Till this morning, I was looking. Could they fall? We just go on faith that the road will be clear because we pay taxes and VDOT's supposed to be working. Don't we? What if we applied that to our Christian life? What if in our spiritual way, we just said the way's going to be clear because Jesus has got it all. The government is on His shoulders and He took possession of it. It's His now. His government is true and righteous. I'll get on board with that government. Now, let's try to close. Look what he says. Another sign. Curve ahead. Watch for wet conditions. The bridge ices before roadway. That may be tomorrow night. I try to explain that one to my son. Dad, why would a bridge decide to ice over when nothing else does? Honey, it's not the bridge, it's the air going under it. I said, it don't have the ground temperature to keep it warm. And so it's a colder structure and they're still wasting my time. He's 15. How many of us, God is looking down from heaven and going, Matthew, I'm wasting my time. You're 50. Huh? Come on, be honest. God, how many ever wonders, is God looking down and considering, oh, I wasted my son on the cross for these knuckleheads? Plural, sorry about that. I got y'all involved. Knucklehead, singular. Next sign. This is a good one. Man, you need to know this. Miles to destination. Did you know God's already told you how long you're going to live? Got anybody in here 120? None? 110? 100? 95? How low do I have to go? 90? What are you saying, preacher? There's a limit. Isn't there? Methuselah, are you here today? 969. There is a limit to how much time you got to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are you doing with that? Every day. God said throw in a statistic right here. You know what man does now? GPS. You don't have time for me to tell you that story. It involves four-wheel drive in North Carolina at midnight. All from trusting a unit designed by a fool. Hello? Now let me show you the other fools. Did you know that in 2023, we spent an estimated, it's estimated, $74 billion on the GPS system for us using it. U.S. dollars. Look it up. Siri will tell you. She'll also tell you the directions to your favorite restaurant. Why do we do that? I'm going to tell you a few things, and it's biblical. Number one, when we're lost, thank you, Lord. When we're lost, we have a lot of fear, don't we? Oh, I don't know where I'm at. My son, even though he's 15 and even though he's just starting to drive, he went and drove downtown Lexington, Kentucky. I was proud of him. But you know what? That's nerve-wracking for a parent. A lot of one-way streets, a lot of crazy places, signs galore. But he passed the test, right? So we're okay. But did you know people that don't know where they're going, they have anxiety, they have fear, they have no hope because they're not sure of their eternal destination. But man is so worried about getting it right and not being lost and having confidence and being sure that they will trust a little machine. Always has to have a name. I don't know why. Little navigation unit, TomTom something, a Garmin. You know where you're going, preacher? Yeah, I got a Garmin. And they're so happy. But they spent money on that to keep from being lost, but their soul is in danger of hellfire and they're doing nothing about it. And the greatest GPS is right here, written in red. God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to not just show us the way, but to be the way. The first example of needing a GPS was doubting Thomas. What did he say? Show us the way, Lord. Sure, we don't know the way. You know what Thomas was saying? We're lost and we're not ashamed to ask for directions. Huh? These were Navy men. They'd been out there on the waters. They knew nautical miles and stuff. I don't know. How many of you travel in kilometers? That many, huh? Why not? Because that's what we use. We use miles per hour, don't we? But here was Thomas doubting, and he said, show us the way. And Jesus, in my mind, this is just my interpretation, Jesus shaking his head, Thomas the knucklehead, just like Matthew Clark. Thomas, John 14:6, I am the way. Do you know the way to heaven this morning? Do you know where you're going? Have you saw the signs in your life? Have you trusted in a Savior that has never led anyone astray, but He takes him all the way? Have you trusted Him as Savior, friend, Lord, and God? Man, I got to finish this message up. You know what else I saw? Brother said there's informational signs out there. Most of them's green. The brown ones tell you where the parks are at, recreational parks, state, federal, stuff like that. But the green ones, Oh, those are good ones. They tell you where good stuff's at and where you need to be, what road to take. But the most beautiful one is the blue one. Do y'all know the blue one? Big old H on it. That don't stand for help. Huh? But it should. Did you know that should be the church? We should be the help. We should be the hospital for the lost. When you need an emergency, when you need a physician, when you need a life-saving crew, go to the blue sign. It'll tell you where the hospital's at. It'll lead you there. Because I'm going to tell you something. In the event of a trauma, in the event of an emergency, you don't got time to... Let me punch you in the latitude, the longitude. How many degrees and seconds would that... You need to know now. And you can't think straight. Boom, there's a blue sign. No speed limit then. And you're straight on your way there. You need help. I'm going to tell you this morning, if you're lost, you need help. And I've got the sign right here. It's from God above. Let me close up. Let me finish here. I want to read Isaiah chapter 55. Look what he says. Praise God, His ways. Beginning with verse 8. We got enough time. Let's begin with verse 6. Anybody got to leave right now? Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call ye upon Him while He is near. And let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. If that's you this morning, come. You don't have to wait till the song. You can come now. I'll pray with you. Somebody will pray with you. Come now. Next verse. Look what he says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says who? Saith the Lord. You know what the Lord's saying? The Lord's saying, I don't think like you do. The Lord's saying, I'm not limited like you are. My ways and my thoughts, they're not like yours. How are they? He says that too. Let's read it out. Look at the next verse. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth. Let's stop right there. How far is that? Not in kilometers, please. In miles. Okay, let me throw out some more numbers for you then, if you're going to be that way. Back to the GPS. Did you know, since the 1970s, and it really got popular in the 80s, we have spent, as a world, as a nation, as a country, as all the world, we have spent $1.4 trillion on GPS. That's what the market is worth if you put it all together over the last 34, 35 years. Now, wait a minute. I can tell by the look on your face, you don't know how much that is, do you? Who has $1.4 trillion in their bank? None of us? Okay, let me lower it. How many has $1.4 billion? None? $1.4 million? I'm looking for support. I'm going on a missionary trip. I need some support. None of us. I don't know. I'm an engineer, and I can't comprehend $1.4 trillion. I hear the word. I know how to spell it. I do not know how much that is. I know that you take a million and you go 1,000 times and you get up to a billion. Whew, man, that number's big. Then you multiply it another 1,000 times and you get up to a trillion. Can I get an amen? This man's a Virginia Tech engineer. He knows. Do you understand a trillion? I still don't understand a trillion. So I asked Siri how much it would be in days and years, and she couldn't tell me. But I can tell you this. It's a long ways from here to heaven, and we've only got a short time to get there. Trillions, they talk about our national debt in the trillions. Do you understand how big the debt is? Me neither. It's huge. But they say that in the aid package that we've sent to Ukraine, I'm not political about this. I'm trying to give you a way to understand numbers. In one of the aid packages that we sent overseas to Ukraine, we could have given 2,200 veterans. Any veterans in here? Any veterans? Praise God. Thank you for your service. Any more veterans? We could have given 2,200 of you $33,000 each. Huh? And that package was just a little over a billion. Multiply that times 1,000 and you've got 2,200 veterans that are wealthy. Now do you understand distance? God is trying to tell you how much bigger, how much higher, how much better, how much love that He has for you, that He'd give His only begotten Son to die in your place so that you could be better, so that your ways would be pleasing to Him. I'm going to close. No idea what time it is, but I'm hurrying. Look what He says. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. My goodness. And Jeremiah backs that up when he says, what is man that you'd be mindful of him? What is man? What's the son of man that you would visit him? Who are we? Jeremiah makes a comparison to grasshoppers. I think I've given you all that analogy before. Here in a few weeks, you'll walk through the grass and out will come 1.4 trillion grasshoppers. Pretty good order of magnitude, isn't it? That's how it feels. I'll give you a task. Go down to Myrtle Beach and count the grains of sand. And when you get to 1.4 trillion, come get me. And then we'll go to another beach and start over. And we still won't reach the heavens because they're that much higher than that much better. Let's close. I want to give you one more verse here in Isaiah. Look what the Lord says. Are you getting it this morning? Your ways are not good enough. There's a way that seems right to you, but it's not. The end thereof is destruction. You know what else? You know another sign I saw? And I want to give it to you this morning if you're going the wrong way. Big red sign with white letters. Over on the other, I'm going down this lane. And I look over there. When I can turn left to come this way. You know, y'all know where Dot Virginia is? If you'd see the sign, you'd know. I looked over there and there was a big red sign. It said, wrong way. Somebody's went that way before. How you know, preacher? Because they put two. They put two signs on both sides. You go try to get on the four lane on the wrong side today. It'll tell you, wrong way. You know, that's what I feel like sometimes that's what preachers are doing. I'm yelling to the lost, you're going the wrong way. And you know what they say to me? Shut up, preacher. I know what I'm doing. There is a way that seemeth right. I know what I'm doing, preacher. I've got my own way. Do you know why we have arguments? No, I'm not talking about marriage. Do you know why we have fights? Do you know why we have discord among the brethren? Do you know we have people that sit over here? I don't know this church, but we got people that sit here. They will never sit over there. Hey, we chuckle about it, but it's true. We got people sitting over here. They'll never sit over there. You know why? This is my seat. I've been sitting on this pew for 31 and a half years. 7,000 Sundays I've been right here. This is my pew. So would you mind to sit over here? I went to visit a church one time to preach for the first and last time. And a lady said, you need to get up. That's my seat. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm new here. And I gave her seat. And I didn't go back. Not because I wasn't willing, because they wouldn't ask. Hey, that's me thanking you for letting me come more than twice. But we are stuck in our ways. We have a saying for it. You can't teach them. And we also know that when a man or a woman gets to a certain age, we don't expect to change them. Why not? Because they are and set in her ways. But you know what the Lord's teaching me? In my old age of 49, almost 50? Matthew, your way may not be right all the time. And I'm like, Lord, have you been talking to my wife? Because that's what she says. I'm being serious with you. God's still working on me. But to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars. Y'all know the song. The sun, the earth, Jupiter. Somebody else knows the song. Now let me show you what that means. All those things obeyed him. It's the man that refuses to obey. Because it's the man or woman who thinks their way is the best way. Now I close with a story. And this is a good story. But it's also truth. Three different groups. One group was two. Is that still a group? We met together Friday morning in Jenkins, Kentucky. One group came out of Candler, North Carolina. Man, I want to give them fellows roses. If there's some way God shows you that this sermon here today, thank you, thank you, thank you for driving 4 hours out of Asheville to come and drive a nail with us. And then another group from Jenkins, and then my group was here local, Scott County. And we met up over there. Had never met before, but we all had one common goal. There was a man living in a dilapidated house, 117 inches off the ground, with steps that I almost fell to the ground when I was trying to remove them because they were that dilapidated. I could pull them loose with my bare, weak hand. That's how bad they were. And this elderly man and woman were trying to live there with no way out other than these dilapidated steps. And we purposed in our heart, God led us to a place where He said, I want you to build them a ramp. The designer in me, John, said, well, we've got to do this and this, and we've got to prep this and have this code, have this book, this manual. It didn't go nothing like that. But God showed up, and we, in 2 days, we accomplished an impossible task. We got along. Y'all thought it was about the ramp. We got along, not even knowing what each other's denomination was. But I could hear one lady singing. She was singing because her headphones were on, and she said, He makes a way where there is no way. She was singing about Jesus risen up out of an empty grave. And I said, sing it louder, sister. And I got to minister to the family, and I said, you see all this work going on? That's because Jesus loves you. And the tears just begin to flow, and they said, we know He does. We prayed for this. But their granddaughter needs the Lord. And I would spend another $2,500 in 2 days to just say, God loves you and He desires for you to know His way. And His way is the best way that I've ever found. But you know what? Did we get along? No, not completely. Because I'd look, couldn't find my drill. Where's my drill? Oh, Dylan's got my drill. You have it, buddy. You keep it. You hold on to it until it goes dead, and then I want it back. But we got along. We set up two chop stations, man. We cut boards. We put cords out. We did. I got a video. It's wonderful seeing God's people look like little busy bees, you know, how all them bees just climb over top of each other. No harsh words spoken. And we begin and end in prayer. But I got tickled when Otis talked about fasting because some fellow pulled up on the site with a whole bunch of hot dogs. He's going to feed the crew. And I said, this will be funny. Watch this. Sometimes I don't listen to the Lord. And I said, no, no, no. We don't want any food. We're all fasting here. Even with Saul's running, you could have heard a pin drop. We eating, brother. Where we come from, we eat. I said, I was just kidding. But Otis, I appreciate you doing that Wednesday night. And I'll tell you why in a minute. Let's close. You want to play, sister? You want to play something on the piano? I feel like it's time for us to do business with God. I want to tell you the truth. I'll tell you the truth because I love you. My ways are not God's ways. They don't always please Him. Your ways don't either. But there's an opportunity here today for you to get just a little bit closer. There's an opportunity here today for you to close the gap. Did you know you can get closer to the Lord by yielding your way? By admitting in the presence of God's people, my way, it may not be the best way. But God's way is. And that is what unifies a church. That is what can help you most of all to prepare for your pastor. Because when man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, everybody's at peace. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm not after your wallet. I'm after your heart. God's after your soul. I want to ask you to come. If God has pricked your heart with any of the scriptures that we've read, is there a great big sign upon your door that says, watch out for falling rocks? Because today may be your last day. No, no, preacher, I'm young. I challenge you to go to the graveyard and look at the dates on both sides of that dash. There's in there from 0 to 1 days to all the way up to 100, 120, 150. You look at them. And then tell me what yours is. You don't know. But today may be your last day, and I offer to you, do you need to come? I want to get everybody involved. If you're lost, come get saved. If you've already been found, come get closer. If you just have a need in your way, in your life, come. You don't have to pray with me. Grab your neighbor, grab your brother, grab your sister. Grab someone you care about and bring them to this altar right now. And let's pray. Come and pray. Do business with God. I want to read a scripture while you're coming. The Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, and He, talking about Jesus Christ, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He's alive. Jesus was the first one to be the resurrection. And it says that in all things He may have preeminence. The preeminence, it means all power being first. Praise God, there's some on the altar praying. Would there be more? Do you need to pray? Will you come? God bless this sister. Give her the sincere desires of her heart. God, I pray that You give her all that she needs. Bless this brother, God. Give him what he desires as he prays to You. I ask, God, that You grant it by faith in Jesus' name. God bless this couple as they pray together. I pray, Lord, that You'd unify them and give them all that they need. Touch them, Lord. Let their ways be pleasing to You. And God, I pray that You guide their footsteps and pathways in Jesus' name. Would there be another? Who else needs to pray? It's not hard. If you don't come because you're lazy, shame on you. If you don't come because you're prideful, shame on you. Do you need to pray? I don't judge you because you don't. I need to pray. Do you need to pray? Come. This is your time. What else do you need? Let me pray with you, sister. Will you give me privacy on the mic? Another one. Anybody else? As we tarry just for a moment, I'm not going to drag out the service, but I'm not going to cut God off if He's working. It takes me just a second sometimes to do some discerning. I want the Lord to show me. This ain't about me. It ain't about you. It ain't about your crock pot. It ain't about my Mexican birthday meal. It's about doing business with God when the opportunity's there. Would there be another one who needs to come? I'm going to tell you something. Sunday night I preached at a church up in Cracker's Neck, and I saw a young lady holding onto the front pew, tears just rolling down her face, and her white knuckles was clenching hard. And she would not come out of there. But I said, Lord, what do I do? And I'm going to tell you, for a preacher, it was hard, but I yielded. And I said, I'm going to turn the service over to the pastor, but I don't want the invitation to stop. And the pastor stepped out, and in 3 seconds, here she come. I was in the way. I wanted to pray with her. I wanted her to come out of there. I wanted her to respond to the gospel. God said, that's not how it's going to happen. Do you have enough faith? Do you have enough boldness? Do you have enough love, caring, concern to get out of the way? The Bible calls us to not be a stumbling block to others. But my way is so good. Your way may be wrong. I had a way to put a screw in a deck. It did not match North Carolina's way, but their way worked. Hello? God called Jonah, go down to Nineveh. Jonah said, I've got a better way. I don't like those people. God said, that's not my way. Jonah saw a sign for a boat, and he jumped on it. God said, I told you that was not my way. The storm came. You know the story, don't you? I ain't got time to preach you another message. Only 3 of you would stay. God got a hold of him. A whale come by. Great fish. We think it might have been a whale. Who knows? Jonah knows. God knows. Guess where Jonah landed? He was puked up in vomit right where God wanted him to be. I don't want to go that route, do you? I'm going to give you one last call. One last call to the altar. Do you want to surrender your way to God's way? Do you want a home in heaven? Do you want to know that Jesus is the only way? Your way seems right to you, but if it don't match God's way, it's wrong. Oh, brother, that's just your opinion. That's the Word of God. My opinion is useless in here. I just give you black and white and most of all red. Last call. Does anyone need to pray? That's good, sis. Thank you very much, honey. Thank you. Appreciate you playing. When you come to the stopping point, it's okay.